Good morning. You're listening to KGNU. I'm Steve Miller. Coming up on this morning's magazine, it's the first Friday of the month, so we'll hear Nature's Almanac. Then Governor Jared Polis last Friday said that too many Coloradans are treating the stay-at-home order like a vacation and traveling to the high country to recreate. Neighboring states are echoing the same message, and Utah has just shut down its national parks in case any folks were planning on heading there to recreate. We'll get a report. After that, the current pandemic has raised many issues of food insecurity for Coloradans. We'll hear from Community Food Share about what they're seeing and how they're trying to help. At 8:30, Roger Wendell will be in as your host for Connections. But first, the latest local headlines. The city of Boulder on Thursday issued an emergency order clarifying the state's stay-at-home order and what it means for recreation in the city. Maeve Conran has more.
The order details different parks and recreation facilities that are deemed conducive to public gathering and are therefore closed, effective immediately. These include basketball and tennis courts, golf courses, dog parks, skate parks, and open space picnic areas, nature centres and shelters. The city says that while hiking trails and multi-use paths remain open, people must still adhere to social distancing rules. That means staying at least 6 feet from any other user. The full list of closures is online at bouldercolorado.gov/coronavirus. For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran.
The city of Aurora is making a hotel available for people experiencing homelessness during the pandemic. As Lucy Haggard reports, this follows the filing of a lawsuit this week by a coalition of homeless rights groups against the state over how they're treating the homeless during the pandemic.
The Aurora Sentinel reports that 120 beds will be available for individuals at an undisclosed location, which is being kept secret in order to protect the privacy of those living there. Beds will be filled on a referral basis for individuals who test positive for COVID-19 but are not able to adequately self-quarantine, either because they do not have a place of residence or because they do not have space to isolate themselves from cohabitants within their residence. The hotel is intended for people with medium to low medical needs, especially those who are discharged from local hospitals, as well as for folks who don't require medical aid but are still contagious. Comitas Crisis Center will staff the hotel with employees using medical-grade personal protective equipment. Stride Healthcare, which is also operating drive-up testing facilities for the general public, will tend to residents' medical needs. Shelley McKittrick, Aurora's Homelessness Program Director, notes that the homeless population, as well as those who share rooms with many others, are especially vulnerable to contracting the virus at this time. Traditional shelters are often structured for high-density use, creating an ideal environment for an outbreak to occur within folks using a shelter services. So far, Aurora has not confirmed any cases among its homeless population, and shelters continue to remain active. While the hotel setup will be expensive, McKittrick says it's necessary in order to reduce the spread of the virus and support the Tri-County region of Arapaho, Adams, and Douglas counties. The operation will occur for at least 2 months, with the Salvation Army working to provide meals for residents.
The COVID-19 outbreak has impacted society in many ways, including its effect on crime. The Westword reports that there is a decline in residential burglaries. Denver Police Chief Paul Pazin says the main reason burglaries are down is due to the stay-at-home order, with people being in their homes all the time. Staying at home isn't always a positive, continued Chief Pazin. People staying at home are also dealing with high levels of stress and uncertainty, making the police more aware of family violence. One of the things they have been doing is to do a lot of outreach remotely as they try to provide assistance before physical violence takes place. Denver Police is also reaching out to police departments and municipalities across the country to get advice regarding best practices. And with fewer cars on the road, the temptation to speed has risen, but the police are assuring that speeders will get tickets. And in today's weather, patchy fog and then partly sunny. High in the low 40s. Currently in Boulder, 20 degrees. Denver, 24, and Fort Collins, 19, with overcast skies currently. And in Nederland, currently 12 degrees, and expect a mix of clouds and sun today, with a high in the 30s. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
It's April. What's happening in the natural world? Here is Ruth Carol Cushman, who has just celebrated her 51st wedding anniversary with her husband, Glenn, and has recently moved to Fraser Retirement Community in Boulder.
I'm Ruth Carol Cushman. On March 9th, we moved from our home that was surrounded by open space field into an apartment at Fraser Retirement Community. And just 1 week later, Fraser went on lockdown. But we are grateful that we can still walk around the small park and pond that's across the road from here. But we can't go out and, say, walk around Walden or Sawhill Ponds, which I would love to do right now. Well, after 9/11, Barbara Kinsolver wrote a book called Small Wonders to Stave Off Despair. In the face of the looming pandemic, here are just a few wonders, large and small, that we've observed in the weeks following lockdown. The day after lockdown in mid-March, two bald eagles circled above Thunderbird Lake and a red-winged blackbird gave its conk-a-ree spring song. A pale spider, possibly imported from our former home, scuttled across the carpet. It was almost a perfect match in color. Amidst the rubble of construction at Fraser, daffodils are blooming, and even more daffodils are blooming across the road at the little park we love. During the big snowstorm in mid-March, a male house finch with bright red feathers and his brownish mate lit on our balcony railing. Now more finches and more finches are singing their sweet spring song from trees that are just now beginning to leaf out, and robins are just caroling away like mad. On April 1st, we added the 23rd bird to our Fraser list. It was a house wren scuttling around on the edge of the pond underneath the cattails. Spring migration has begun in earnest. And just a few days before that, we saw our first turkey vulture soaring in the sky. Friends from outside delivered two rolls of toilet paper to augment our supply of old T-shirts that can be washed and reused. All of this problem with toilet paper reminds me of a backpacking trip years ago when we ran out and tore pages from a paperback copy of Alice in Wonderland. Fortunately, we'd had time to finish reading it first. Many friends are sending us jokes and cartoons to make us laugh or poems to help us heal. I'd like to close with just a few lines from a poem called A Blessing for Staying Inside by Joyce Bartlett. It ran on March 20th in the New York Times. Even as you wrap yourself in a blanket of solitude, may you discover the secrets of the universe from your spot on the couch.
Ruth Carol Cushman is a Boulder naturalist. She spoke with us from the Fraser Retirement Community, where she and her husband, Glenn, have just celebrated their 51st wedding anniversary.
Last week, Governor Jared Polis cautioned Coloradoans that people should not consider the current crisis and stay-at-home order to be a vacation. Too many people are still driving from the Front Range to the High Country to recreate. The state of Colorado is closing state parks and certain trails, and now neighbouring states are taking similar actions to discourage out-of-towners from coming to recreate. KZMU's Molly Marcello has more.
When the staff at Moab Regional Hospital began modeling future COVID-19 patient surges, they didn't like what they saw. If a rural community like Moab encountered multiple points of infection from visitors, let's say just four asymptomatic people carrying coronavirus.
Now that actually increases our community's rate of spread four times as fast, exponentially.
Moab Regional Hospital CEO Jen Sadoff.
So it was really important to us that we didn't potentially have asymptomatic spreaders coming into our community from areas where there was, community spread.
Healthcare professionals in rural resort communities like Moab are publicly concerned about becoming overloaded with COVID-19 patients. Moab Regional does not have an ICU. The town made headlines when, on March 17th, their Southeast Utah Health Department barred non-essential visitors from hotels and campgrounds in an attempt to slow the spread of the virus and the future demand on local healthcare. But in spite of these restrictions, people continued to visit nearby Arches and Canyonlands National Parks.
It was very concerning to us that the parks continued to be a draw from people from other areas.
Moab Regional and local health departments urged the parks to shut. Lynn McAloon, a public information officer at the National Park Service, says the recent closure
was in direct response to guidance from the Southeast Utah Public Health Department, the San Juan Public Health Department, and the Moab Regional Hospital.
Okay, and so it was basically at their urging or request.
Correct, both.
Now, vehicles, bikes, and pedestrians are prohibited from entering any park areas in southeastern Utah. This not only applies to Arches and Canyonlands National Parks, but to Hovenweep and Natural Bridges National Monuments as well. At the entrance to Arches, temporary signs announced its recent closure, stating that park rangers could issue citations to anyone in violation.
Arches staff have put little barricades up so no one can pull off. There's a big electronic sign that says park closed, no public access, turn around ahead. I don't see anyone around, like not one person. There's an occasional car coming down Highway 191 that runs parallel to the Arches entrance road, but other than that, like no other human out here.
I did, of course, eventually see a human. Two, actually, in a Subaru, with out-of-state license plates, mountain bikes on the back, and headed straight for the visitor center. I got in my car to follow them.
Oh, there's a car.
The out-of-towners eventually turned around quite quickly. They likely spotted the National Park's law enforcement ranger at the bottom of the entrance road.
Hey!
How you going?
Good.
The ranger told me that they are there to help educate people about the park's closure and the seriousness of the current time. Communities in southeastern Utah do have confirmed cases of COVID-19, and healthcare providers are bracing for more. According to McAloon, closing the parks takes pressure off medical resources, which she hopes will help local residents.
We're trying to keep that resource available for COVID response rather than, you know, somebody sprained their ankle while they were mountain biking or something like that. We want to protect our community and our local resources for the people that live here and the people that rely on these resources to be available to them.
McAloon says the Park Service will continue to evaluate the closures as the COVID-19 situation progresses. Reporting from southeastern Utah, I'm Molly Marcello.
Food banks around the Front Range are being significantly impacted during this pandemic. Less donations combined with increased demand means they're struggling to keep up. Kimberly Retzela is with Community Food Share in Louisville.
Well, I guess the most important thing that I would like the community to know is that we're open during this COVID-19. I know that there's been some confusion with shelter in place orders, but food banks, food pantries, we are classified as essential business, as getting food out to those in need is more important than ever these days. So for us, before the COVID-19 kind of pandemic hit, we were seeing about 40,000 individuals a year who needed food assistance. And now with the pandemic, it's just exploded in terms of need, especially with service industries being hit the way they have.
Well, what are you hearing about food and particularly access to food or food security from the people that you most work with and the folks who certainly in the past have relied on your services? Because I know, like in general, there is a lot of anxiety around food. We're seeing that playing out in grocery stores, people stockpiling food, people hoarding almost supplies, certainly early on in this crisis. What are you hearing?
Community Food Share is part of Feeding America, which is a national food bank network. And we've been on calls nationally, and the food supply and the food chain has not been affected by COVID-19. What's been affected is the transportation, the overwhelming need for food supplies to get from the manufacturers and the suppliers to the stores and for organizations that need it. So there is no need to hoard or, kind of purchase everything off the shelves, as there will be plenty of supply for people when they need it. But what's happening right now is you can't go to a store and get a roll of toilet paper or some meats or some canned vegetables. Or, when I was in the grocery store this weekend, it was the pasta and the pasta sauces were all gone. So as a person, if you are doing this, take a second to think about those who don't have the ability to do that and those who are now scared about where their next meal will come from and have to rely on food banks and food pantries. And just remember that in a time of crisis, during this pandemic, we all need to work together and be there for each other. And so take what you need because it's not going to dry up.
So is all of that, mass buying at the grocery stores, the hoarding of food, non-perishable goods that we're seeing, is that also leading to a drop in donations actually being made to the food banks themselves?
Yeah, so for us at Community Food Share and for some of our partners, we work with 40 partners throughout Boulder and Broomfield counties, and we have seen a decrease in food donations from grocery stores, which is a large population of the donations that come through our door. So we had about a 23% decrease in food donations in March compared to February. And we purchased, so to make up for that, Community Food Share raises money to purchase food, and we purchased 145% more food than we do in a typical month to help supplement what's not being donated right now.
Well, I know that in addition to actually having less food being donated to the food banks, there's also the other side of that where so many people are now in such economic distress. Maybe they've lost their jobs or they've been furloughed. Now, that people actually need food banks more than ever.
Absolutely. In the first 3 weeks of March alone, we experienced a 37% increase in visits to our programs compared to the same time next year. And that's just with this all getting started. And, one of the most concerning things to Community Food Share as well as other nonprofits is the uncertainty of how long this is going to last and what the ramifications are in the long term. It's not only that people are out of work currently and looking for resources, but it's also about once work starts back up, how long is it going to take for people to get back onto their feet? And places like Community Food Share and our partners, we need to be here for those individuals for the long term, not just the short term.
We've spoken to many nonprofits to check in with them on how they're doing during this pandemic. And a lot of what we're hearing is that they're struggling in many ways with a lack of volunteers, because, of course, that's really the heartbeat of so many volunteer agencies because of the shelter in place order and various different things. So is that something that you've experienced? Is that impacting you?
So absolutely. And another kind of misconception is with the shelter in place that people cannot volunteer. So if you are signed up to volunteer at a essential organization, you can actually leave your house to volunteer. Community Food Share, as many other nonprofits, we're looking for healthy volunteers who can come and help us complete our work. We've really had to modify the way in which we do food distributions, so that we're not in direct contact with individuals. So we have drive-through food pantries that we do now, where people just pull up in their cars and they open their trunks, and then we have volunteers who load those trunks with food so that there's no interaction. Volunteers, we do keep them safe, as we always have, but now we have extra precautions where we keep them 6 feet apart. They have gloves. So volunteer force is extremely important during this time. So I would say, if you're interested in volunteering, to go to our website at communityfoodshare.org and actually take a look and sign up for what's available. And we would appreciate the help, as would other nonprofits throughout the community.
Well, I know that the schools being closed as well, that's obviously a major component of what's happening right now. But of course, that is so very closely related to food access for so many families as well.
Oh, absolutely. Because a lot of families, they really rely on those breakfasts and lunches for their children before they have to go home and only really look at providing one meal. So now when you're looking at providing three meals, the community is really trying to come together and say, how can we provide food for that increased need? We are working with BVSD in terms of getting them food out the door so that they can give some to the families. We have a long list of kind of partners in the community who are helping to feed not only children, but their families as well during this time. So the community has really come together and say, we are not going to let children go hungry, and we're going to have options, whether it's families that come through our mobile food distribution, or if it's families who go straight through BVSD and have a grab-and-go bag. So I think that it's really important to know the services are out there. And I think for us, it's just making sure that individuals who need it, even if you've never needed it before, realize it's here and please take advantage of it. You know, I know it can be scary navigating a system in uncertain times, but Community Food Share, our partners, we're here to make sure you have the support you need during this time.
Now, given all of the social distancing regulations and recommendations that are currently in place, how can people actually get access to the food pantries, or rather, how can they donate food to the food pantries? What's the best way to help?
Yeah, so at Community Food Share, we do have an ability for you to come into kind of our lobby area and drop food off into a container if you have food that you'd like to donate. But the you know, the best way that you can help food banks, food pantries in this time is to donate funds to our services. And if you went to communityfoodshare.org, we do have a COVID-19 rapid response fund where we are collecting funds to help us with the much needed food and to have our operations stay open during this time. So I think that whether people want to give food, funds, or time, this is the most important time to do it, because this has just kind of really affected our communities in a way that no one, I think, ever expected. And the uncertainty of how long this can last is quite worrisome at times.
Kimberly, thanks so much for talking to us today. Is there anything else that you think that listeners need to know about what you're doing at Community Food Share, or just about food pantries in general right now?
Yeah, what I would like to say to everybody is know that there is help out there. So the food system has not dried up. There is going to be food for everyone who needs it, whether it's at the grocery stores or through one of the nonprofits out there, Community Food Share, and we work with 40 other great nonprofits across our service area who are here to make sure we're on the front lines, making sure people who need food will get food.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us on KGNU today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Kimberly Retzler with Community Food Share. You can find out more about their services and how to help online at communityfoodshare.com. .org. And you can find all of our COVID-19 coverage, as well as information and resources, online at kgnu.org. I'm Maeve Conran. Thanks for listening to The Morning Magazine. Don't forget you can subscribe to a podcast of the show, listen again or listen at a different time to local headlines, stories and interviews. Just search for KGNU wherever you get your podcasts.